Hello, and welcome to Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a diagnosis. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
I'm Lita, and Gene is still not with us due to that pesky migraine, but we will be covering migraines on a podcast coming up soon.
And I am Ron. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. Allow me to introduce today's guest. With us in studio today is Alex, a local bud tender in suburban Chicago. Welcome, Alex.
How's it going? Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming in.
Yes, welcome, Alex. I'm glad you got back from Alaska okay, and we're good to have you here in the studio.
Yeah, the last time we tried this, it didn't work on our Skype, but hopefully we'll get that up and going soon. But we're glad to have you here and be able to get firsthand knowledge from you, especially coming from where you just came as well. So if we can jump into the segment where we were talking about with the dispensaries. Right now, they may be legal in the state, but it can still feel intimidating for someone to step inside it and not know what to do, which questions to ask, and how to find the products that they want. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah. No, definitely when we see, and this was probably more so when we first opened, we've been open for 2.5 years now. It was still kind of taboo. No one really, there wasn't access to information about it, first of all. So when they were coming in, you know, they had no idea unless they were a frequent user before. So, there's a lot to tackle. You know, there's a lot of oils that were not around for people, and certainly their dealer, if you will, and it wasn't medically legal, didn't have it. There's a lot of different edibles. You know, you're finally getting to choose what strains work best for you, not having to rely on the shady transaction that worked or didn't work, if you will.
So is there still that taboo with people coming in?
Sometimes, you know, we see it a lot more in older patients, or if they're not, I don't want to say minor, usually the minors, we'll say like 10 and under, those parents are very accepting, and that's why they're there. That's kind of their last resort. But there's a couple, you know, patients, I guess, that are probably in that range of 14 to 18, and at 18, you can actually use smokable products in Illinois. If you're under the age of 18, you can't. You can only use edibles or sublingual oils or lotions like transdermal patches, stuff like that, which is very good because, you know, there's no reason to exactly expose yourself to smoking that early when you don't have to.
Right. I think our most important question is, do the staff members at the dispensary, like yourself, being a staff member, a bud tender, do they actually assist each patient or client in the purchase? And do you have to be trained for that job?
Yeah, so every bud tender, and even if you work, you know, up at the front desk, you know, the job is to communicate to the patients, you know, maybe what's new, what's working, you know. We're not exactly giving names and sensitive information, if you will, about patients. We're just saying, hey, you know, we've heard 7 out of 10 patients say this strain works best for migraines and stuff like that.
Migraines. We got to get Gene over there.
Yeah. Doctor Who, great strain.
Okay.
So with that being said, I guess, yeah, we definitely are very hands-on. And it comes from experience, I guess, if you will.
Did you say before you went to school?
So not exactly school, in training. I did a hemp staff certification class. It was like a 5-hour class. You took a test. You got a nice laminated piece of paper saying that you were qualified to be a bud tender, if you will. But it didn't it didn't really mean much. It's just something to put on your resume, if you will. I mean, we did training at Windy City that was substantial enough to get you by. You know, a lot of the information comes from homework, if you will. You know, whether if it's at work or at home, you know, most people that are in the industry, they love it. You know, it's not hard to get into, but if you're in there and you don't want to be there, I don't think it's going to really work out for you, if you will. It's very, you know, you get tied up in it, you know. You never thought you could remember all these patients' names and faces and symptoms, but you do, you know, and it goes
because
from...
you care about your job.
Yeah, you know, and it goes from the 45-minute maybe first interaction, and goes to something 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes the next time. Sometimes even like 5 minutes. They're like, hey, I'm in and out. I got to go somewhere. I just want to grab what my usual is.
But this is really very personalized.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And, you know, there are personal interactions that are taking you out of your comfort zone, definitely. I mean, there are, you know, tons of times where you're like, I never thought I'd find myself in this situation or talking about this with someone, or you know, you disagree with patients sometimes. You know, it's a safe place, really. We get a lot of things that are said. We definitely don't allow any negative, we'll say, energy or, you know, actions in the dispensary. But every once in a while, you disagree with what a patient has to say, but it's not about cannabis. It's about something you've tangent off on or something, so mm-hmm. Which is nice. You really get to understand where they're coming from. You know, it's not always their, you know, someone's very standoffish, or I don't want to say aggressive, but they seem rude. It's not them, it's their symptoms, it's their pain, it's the fact that their medications that they were taking weren't working, and now they're trying this and it might be new to them, and it's frustrating because it's trial and error, but there are no negative side effects, you know. So even though they haven't found what's right for them, they're reassured by, well, at least I'm not vomiting or I'm not more suicidal or something, you know.
I have a new respect for your profession based on what you just said. Because, seriously, you're not really trained specifically in how to handle all of these different things, but you do it out of your heart and out of your gut, and because you believe in the product and you want to help people. Mm-hmm. And it's really, hey Ron, doesn't it make you feel like old time medicine, like, you know, back in the 50s when doctors used to make house calls? And well, you're not that old, I'm sorry.
You brought it up again. but no, I'm listening, and I do agree with you, Lita. I do have this newfound respect because, and I don't know if we're going to keep this in the podcast, I'm not a big fan of marijuana or legalization. However, I am a fan of the medical marijuana, just for the purposes you're talking about.
Well, that's all we're discussing, so don't worry about it. It can stay in here.
I do have a question, though, a few of them, because of the industry and all of that. And these questions are cost-related. Is any of this covered by insurance, or is it all out of pocket? Do you guys take credit cards, anything like that? And how much can somebody expect to pay when they come in to buy some of your products?
So the insurance definitely doesn't cover it. There is a non-for-profit out there, Educated Alternative or Alternative Education, one of those. His Jose Gonzalez is the man's name, and he is a wonderful individual. What he's trying to do right now is actually get funding so that, say, you are less fortunate and you come in there and all you can provide is your last tax return and your most recent paycheck. He will do everything he can to either pay for the doctor visit, the fingerprinting, and the card, or maybe one of those three or two of those three, and then he's reaching out to the cultivators and saying, hey, I want X amount of product at these dispensaries where these patients can go and not have to pay for it, if you will, because it is all out of pocket. And the way that it's set up is, I would say, can get to be difficult. You know, not everyone has money, and a lot of our patients are on disability, so they're getting paid once a month. And, you know, we see it all the time. It doesn't exactly work. You know, some patients are able to make it work, and everyone's circumstances are different. And that's a huge thing, you know, where someone might not have some issues that are costing them in life, if you will, but the next patient has it. So there definitely needs, I don't know about a price drop. I mean, everyone wants to see a price drop, but I think paying for the card should be cheaper, because when you go in, you're spending upwards of $100 easily. You
okay,
know,
that was my question.
Yeah.
So it's not it's typical for somebody to spend $100 or more during a visit?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean,
and that's every 2 weeks?
No. I mean, so your card says every 2 weeks you get 2.5 ounces, which is 70 grams, which is a lot. It really is. But not everyone uses cannabis the same way, where someone might use oils, you know. Someone wants to use flower, and now this person that's using oils, they don't just use it under the tongue, maybe they're cooking with it, right? So really the other person that's buying bulk flower, you know, 0.5 ounces to 1 ounce, 14 grams or 28 grams, you know, they're using that to cook with, and it's, you know, we try to tell them what's cost effective. So we would always tell them, hey, you know, you might want to look at option, you know, A, which would be the oils, because it's only $60 for 1,000 milligrams of oil, opposed to, let's say, 0.5 ounce is on sale for $140, but generally they're $175. So you just saved yourself $110 or $80 and got something that's just as potent, if not more, usually more potent. So you can do more with it, if you will. But not, like I said, not everyone wants to do that, and maybe it's because they're used to what they have been doing, and that's fine. You know, we're also not here to push a product on someone that they don't want, if you will. So.
After hearing you talk, it makes me wish I would have spent more time paying attention in class when we were talking about the metric system. What you're talking about with the grams and all of that makes me come up with another question. Somebody that comes in for the first time, maybe they're brand new to all of this, especially hearing you talk about, again, the different dosages and all of that. How much time would somebody expect to spend the first time they come in there? Because there's got to be a lot of information you're sharing with them.
There is, and it comes down to their personality, I think, really. Some people are, it's new to them, so they're scared, and they don't want to, not necessarily be there for too long, but they're just nervous about the whole thing, so they don't really ask all the questions they have, right? Because they're timid, and we get it. You know, we try to break the ice, if you will, you know, general questions like, hey, you know, have you ever been to a dispensary before? You know, a lot of people before Illinois that were living there, they would go to Michigan or Colorado, and they were forced to go other places and get relief if that's how they were seeking it. But now that they have it here, it's still that taboo a little bit less now. So, you know, we have, I think at Justice, maybe over 300 patients or so, probably more than that, but we don't see that as much, but that's because it's like the original 100 to 200 people, like they've gotten their friends and family on board, so that they're erasing the taboo, if you will. You know, we're just helping by providing that safe spot to come in. I mean, share whatever you want. You know, we've heard it all, I would say. And sometimes, like I said, you know, it puts you in a uncomfortable zone, if you will, but you deal with it, and it gives you life experience, because you wouldn't know that person's experience without them telling you, if you will.
And the patients would return to you regularly, then they wouldn't go from space to, like, from dispensary to dispensary.
So in Illinois, once you register somewhere, that's where you have to go until you register somewhere else. So they don't say, you can't do that, but it takes at least 2 days to register or to re-register somewhere. So what sucks is Windy City has 4 locations. If you're registered at one, you can't go to another, even though we're the same.
But you might not want to. Because what you're saying, you know, you might want to, like, you have a rapport with the person that helped you the first time. You might only want to go to that person.
Exactly. And then there, we see the case of, hey, you know, we have a lot of people like that like that strain or that product, so we're going to sell out of it fast, you know. And you can't, yeah, that's a big thing. And it's not like you call the cultivator, hey, we sold out of this, I need you to come drop it off now. There's a system, you know, you place the order, if you will, you know, and then it I don't really exactly know how long it takes, but then it shows up, you know, during the work week. So when that happens, you know, we definitely try to, especially because there's 4 Windy Cities, you know, we're like, all right, we know this place has it. If you want to transfer there, we'll put the transfer through. We'll call the place, we'll make sure they hold it, you can grab it, and then they'll transfer you back, you know. Or what if they go there and they like someone, because we have great staff everywhere. So now they're a patient there for a little bit. And then they're like, well, I'm going to go try the other one, you know. And then they're like, oh my God, Windy City's the best because they have the greatest staff. So
do patients actually bring in a prescription when they come in? Like, does the doctor write on a prescription note, give this person 7 grams of something? Or do they just tell you that what their medical goals are, like, I want to relieve anxiety, I want pain relief, I want a sleep aid or something, and then you kind of fill the need?
There are no prescriptions. It's actually looked at as like a recommendation from your doctor, basically saying, hey, Dr. XYZ says my patient can use cannabis, you know, if you will. So sometimes you'll see people come in saying, hey, my doctor recommended, you know, CBD oils or, you know, a 1-to-1 ratio. That's about the extent of it. They don't know too much, and stuff that they know is all from what they've heard through maybe documentaries or what they've read on the internet, which, I mean, that's how we learn it, but we have more time, if you will, to focus on just cannabis. So,
right, it's your job.
Exactly. So, when they say, you know, you need CBD oils, they're exactly right. You know, to me, it would be like a vitamin. You would all want to have it because there's no psychoactive effect. It's not getting you high. It's a anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antiseptic, you know, antibacterial. It's amazing what it can do for you, not only sublingually. I mean, you could smoke it. It does grow like a normal cannabis plant. But then topically, you know, there's some great lotions out there that they don't penetrate your skin, and it's like, I'm an athlete, I've used Icy Hot, Bengay, Biofreeze, Tiger Balm. Some of these lotions surpass this, and maybe it's because they're more organically made, or maybe it's a CBD, but from experience, it works, you know.
Right. I've heard that photography is not allowed inside the dispensary. But using your cell phone is not allowed? Are there privacy problems? Is that why?
I think it's more so, I guess, yeah, privacy. You know, I don't think the state wants pictures going up, like, during the sale, if you will, you know. But I will say, since we started, that rule is a little bit more refined down to certain circumstances. Before, yeah, definitely it was no. But now it's, you know, we have people that come in and we have a sale board, you know, so just because someone shows up doesn't mean they're there to make a purchase, if you are, to buy some medicine. So they come in and they're like, hey, I want to take a picture of that sale board because it's not what was in the email that you guys sent out, because they're in-house sales, if you will.
Okay.
So it's like, what do? Tell that person, no, you can't look over the sale board while you're out to lunch, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
Those things are more acceptable, you know. If you get a phone call in the dispensary, you we don't want you necessarily taking it in the dispensing area because there is a waiting room, but you go in the waiting room and you take it, you know.
Is there always a sale on something?
Generally, yeah. You know, at the beginning, no. There wasn't a sale board, at least. Maybe there were the emails that were going out every Monday. You get the weekly sale, which is generally by cultivation, you know. Revolution is having a sale. Grassroots is having a sale on flower. Maybe there's some oils on sale, if you will. But those are more general, where just about every other dispensary are also doing it. The
okay.
In-house sales are maybe something that just isn't getting recognized, that we know is worth it, if you will. So we put it up there and it draws the question, hey, what's that? And then you talk about it. Now they're interested, and generally it's a good enough price that if they have enough money to
try it,
yeah, they will. And you could say bud tender's recommendation if you want, but generally it's a strain up there that we know works. It's not just something we're trying to push.
Let me jump in and ask a quick question. The number of customers, maybe in your dispensary or statewide, has that jumped up?
Yeah, definitely. And that was due to the conditions list, if you will, being, there was 38 or 48, I can't remember, original conditions, which seems like a lot, but they were all very serious, you know. I mean, anything from HIV, cancer, arthritis, there was osteo, I believe.
Okay.
Then it was like severe spinal cord damage, there's traumatic brain injury, stuff like that, lupus,
mm-hmm.
All sorts of different things, but there wasn't like a chronic pain, if you will, which if you look at it, it is a way for anyone kind of to get a cannabis card. But at the same time, fibromyalgia is pretty much a chronic pain. It's a chronic inflammation that
Yes. Actually
is diagnosed after the doctors kind of go, well, we don't know what's going on. So it's generally fibromyalgia in this case, you know, after all the blood tests are done and stuff like that. So it's harder to get diagnosed with something like that than it is with an overall chronic pain, because you've had 7 back surgeries. You just haven't fractured your spinal cord yet, you know,
right. So,
which is unfortunate, you know, because there's more people out there with those injuries, if you will, like that aren't as severe, but they're being fed opiates, which is
right,
the
that's,
issue.
Right.
You know,
that's
so.
What Dr. Weil was talking about, that he's one of his greatest concerns is that in the sports industry, they're pushing opioids, but not pushing medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're testing for drug use, and then the players are out of luck because they've been pushed the opioid. So it's just
fail a drug test.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I will say athletes in general, they do have they maintain their body very well. So a lot of them, they probably use like the CBD oils from hemp that they know are legal, if you will, because there's microscopic amounts of THC in there that don't affect you. You know, that up into a certain point of THC, it won't affect you really, you know. And I mean, that's not for everyone, but I could say a large percentage of people would not be affected by this, you know, the THC factor in the CBD oils. That's why it's out there. That's why there's the loophole, if you will, because technically it's still under the, you know, federal ban, but there's numbers to all those bands, if you will, and they meet the numbers. So,
if let's say I bought something and I'm not happy with it, can I return it and try something different?
So no, and that is a state law. You know, once you walk out those doors, you can't return anything. Now, product breaks. Product actually comes empty. Right, so not necessarily flower. Like if you buy a gram or an eighth, it is prepackaged, but generally you can feel the gram in there, or you could see through the container and you could see the flour in there. But there have been times where you buy a joint pack, there's supposed to be 5 in there, there's nothing in there. So what happens is you reimburse them because, one, everything's prepackaged, so it's not like it came out at the dispensary. It never was put in at the cultivation.
Okay.
So what you do is basically we have a product issue report, and we report all the issues that come through, and then I don't know if it's once a month or once a year or every 6 months or whatever it may be, but then you let these people know, and then they go about it in a business-like manner. So we have no issue with
if there's a faulty product.
Yeah, right. You can't bring it back in, which is unfortunate, because some of the times with vape pens or cartridges or disposables, you can actually kind of fix them, if you will. Maybe it's just a battery issue, or the heating element isn't touching something that it needs to, and you can actually maneuver them. But we're not allowed to do that. So generally what happens is if it looks broken and, we ask for a video or picture and we see that you're not getting anything out of your product, we reimburse you.
Okay.
But then with that being said, there's some rules or in-house rules behind it. If you purchase something like a disposable pen, we'll be straightforward and say, do you plan on using this within the next week or so? Because if you don't, you run a higher risk of opening it one day and that battery not working, because the disposable pen is all put together for you, right? It's just a single little stick with a little soldered battery together. You could drop it once and it could break, if you will. They're very cheap, in my opinion. But the vape cartridges, you can go out and buy your own vape battery from a vape shop that is almost indestructible and will fit the threading of the cartridges, and you run less of a risk of that breaking. Now if your cartridge breaks in its package, you take a picture and you next time you come in, you show it to us and we reimburse you. And it's not, say you came in and bought 5 products and they were all broken, you as the consumer, if you will, or the patient, we're going to be like, hey, you can either take a new product, or would you just like a reimbursement with your money and maybe try a different product? Because at that point, it's, I don't want you going home again for the 6th time, and now that's your sanity. We don't want that's just, no one wants that. So
it sounds like what you're saying is state law is state law. Once you buy, it's yours. However, if there's some type of defect whatsoever, that you guys will work with the consumer to make them happy.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Now, you also mentioned, I find this amazing. You mentioned the edibles, the flowers, the vape cartridges, concentrates, topicals. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that was not aware that there was so much out there.
I'm right there with you.
There are suppositories as well.
Suppositories as well.
Yeah, it's a new one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that, it's funny because they're someone with Crohn's, that would be a very useful way to medicate, because it's actually getting to their digestive tract faster than...
I'll be darned.
Yeah. So it's, Whoopi Goldberg's out there doing her thing for women, with cervical cancer.
Right.
She's making tampons and stuff like that with CBDs in it. And it's funny to think about, but that's where it's going. People are... I think in Colorado, you can get an inhaler, which before that, the closest thing to an inhaler would be a vape pen, because it's virtually the same amount of air vapor that an inhaler is obviously less, but to an extent you can get a very soft hit off a vape pen, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's totally some impressive stuff I would not have known. Earlier you mentioned about again, go back to the metric system and grams and all that. Is there a limit as to how much a person can buy at one time?
No. Well, yeah. So your 70 grams or 2.5 ounces is what you can buy, they say, within 2 weeks, but you have the free will to buy that in your first purchase. With that being said, if you buy that in your first purchase, You then have to wait 14 days.
So is there a database or something that shows how much?
Okay. Yeah, like every time you come to the window and you show your medical card and a state ID or driver's license, you know, we scan the medical card and it comes up, you know, John Doe, 37 grams left, okay. 70 grams. And they'll ask, hey, how, you know, what's my allotment at? And you're like, all right, hey, you got 17 today, you know. You're just in luck, you know, we have some good half ounces on sale that you might like or something, you know, something like that. And, you know, now they're in here and then they might, oh, I'm only here for a couple joints actually. Okay, cool. Or an edible. All right, awesome. You know, so.
Wow, that's a lot of information. Thank you. You've been very informative. A lot of good information for us and for our listeners. And I don't know, Lita, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, once we post this, I'm hoping that we get some questions from the audience. And if there are questions, I'm going to direct them back to Alex, because I am not the resident knowledge expert here. And we'll probably bring you back again, maybe in a month or two, after we get the questions, and then you can address those questions individually. Is that okay?
No, definitely.
That's great. Well, thank you, Alex, for adding this critical piece of information to a subject that I know it's new and confusing to many people, especially people in my age group. And people in my age group need it. So, you know, we feel like we're, you were saying taboo, but it not just taboo, but it's so overwhelming. The amount of information is so overwhelming. Thank God that we know that we've got people like you that will take good care of us, take time with us, go through it with us, answer all our questions. I think it's going to be a piece of cake. And as always, we have additional information at our website, www.podcastdx.com, our Facebook page, Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. And until next time, we're out.
Before we're out, if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes podcast app.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron.
And now, until next time.